بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسنة المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البردزبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب بيع المزايدة وقال عطاء رحمة الله عليه أدركت الناس لا يرون بأسا ببيع المغانم فيما يزيد في من يزيد. Most respected elders and friends, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, today we will discuss two chapters. The first chapter is on the permissibility of auctions. And the second chapter relates to some rules and regulations pertaining to auctions. Before we proceed with the first chapter, let us consider three common and pertinent issues. One is a general online auctions, and one is online auctions in which you pay for bids. And this is also a common way, a common practice of online auctions. What is the Sharia position of that? The second, is it permissible to purchase repossessed items? Items that are repossessed by the banks or through government officials, SARS and other institutes. Is it permissible to purchase repossessed items through auctions? And third, is it permissible to have a syndicate in auctions in which people avoid bidding against each other, but they appoint one person as their representative to purchase it, and then they have an auction on the side? Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi commences the chapter Bay'ul Muzayada, the transactions of auctions. He commences with the statement of Ata rahmatullahi alayhi. Ata rahmatullahi alayhi, the tabi'i, he says, Adraktu an-nas, I found the people. People here refers to the sahaba, the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They wouldn't see any problems in selling items of booty to the person that will offer the most or the highest price in that. From this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi proves that the concept of auctions, where one person will bid against the other and the highest bidder will secure the item for himself, he proves that it is permissible. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi then presents a hadith to support it. An Jabir ibn Abdullah The hadith is narrated from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Inna rajulan a'taka ghulaman lahu an duburin. One person, one sahabi, he promised to free his slave after his death. You call this bay'ul mudabbar. When the master told to his slave that after my demise, after I pass away, you are freed. So one sahabi did that with one of his slaves. That particular sahabi who had made this promise and this pledge to his slave, fahtaja. Later in life, he became in need, probably was owing people monies. So the creditors came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained, and the only item of possession the sahabi had was a slave. فَأَخَذَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that slave, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sold a slave, and the words used by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالْ مَنْ يَشْتَرِيهِ مِنِّي Who will purchase this slave from me? فَاشْتَرَاهُ نُعَيْمِ بْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِكَذَا وَكَذَا فَدَفَعَهُ إِلَيْهِ So one sahabi, Nu'aym ibn Abdullah, upon the offer of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he purchased a slave for a price, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the slave over to this particular sahabi. It is from the generality of this hadith, like how in an auction, you offer to sell an item, likewise in this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered someone to purchase the item. So it is from the generality of this hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah proved the concept of auctions. But a more clearer hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawud Sharif, and the words are such. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala said, Inna rajula min al-ansar atan nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yas'aluhu. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, one ansari, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some help and for some assistance. Faqal, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ama fi baytika shay? Do you have anything in your house? Qala bala. He said, yes, ya Rasulallah. Hilsun nalbasu ba'dahu wa nabsutu ba'd. I've got a mat, and part of the mat, I spread it on the ground, and with the other part of it, I cover myself. Wa qa'bun nashrabu fihi alma. And I've got a container from which I used to drink water. So two things he had in his house. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, Itini bihima, bring these two items to me. Qal fa'atahu bihima. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that sahabi, he brought that mat and he brought the container to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa'akhadahuma Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam biyadihi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that mat and took that container. Wa qal, and Nabi told to the sahaba that were present there, May yashtari hazain. Who will purchase these two items from me? فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ أَنَا أَخُذُهَا بِدِرْهَمٍ That I will take both of these items for one dirham. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, مَنْ يَزِدَ لَا dirham. Anybody is there to offer more? Who is there to offer more than one dirham? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this two times or three times. Like what happens in an auction? Anybody to offer a higher price? Another sahabi stood up. He said, أَنَا أَخُذُهُمَا بِدِرْهَمِينَ I will take it for two dirhams. For Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave these two items to a sahabi. And then he took the two dirhams and he gave it to the Ansari sahabi who was the owner of the mat and that container. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ishtar bi ahadihima ta'aman. Would one dirham go buy for food for the house? And fambidhu ila ahlik. Washtar bil akhar qaduman fa'atini bihi. And with another one dirham, go buy an axe and bring that axe to me. So he brought that axe to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَشَدَّ فِيهِ رَسُولَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عُودًا بِيَدِهِ On that axe which is made from steel, the handle of it is made from wood. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put the wood on that axe with his own hands. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to the sahabi, اِذْهَبْ فَاحْتَتِبْ وَبِعْ Take this axe, go cut wood. Chop wood, sell wood. وَلَا أَرَيَنَّكَ خَمْسَةَ عَشَرَ يَوْمًا And I shouldn't see you for 15 days. فَذَهَبَ الرَّجُلْ يَحْتَتِبُ وَيَبِيعُ. This Sahabi went, he started going to the forest, started going to the jungle, started cutting wood, and he started selling it. فَجَاءَ وَقَدْ أَصَابَ عَشَرَةَ دَرَاهِمْ. Then the Sahabi, after some time, 15 days, he earned 10 dirhams. In one time in his life, he was a beggar. But he earned, he made an effort, and he started making some profit. فَاشْتَرَى بِبَعْضِهِمَا ثَوْبًا وَبَعْضِهِمَا طَعَامًا. With part of the money he bought food, part of the money he bought clothing. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَذَا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَن تَجِيَ الْمَسْأَلَةَ نُكْتَةً فِي وَجْهِكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This, living a life of respect, dignity, honor, where you own your own money, this is better than coming with a strain on your face on the day of Qiyamah. إِنَّ الْمَسْأَلَةَ لَا تَصْلُحُ إِلَّا لِثَلَاثٍ. Asking a begging is permissible only for three people. لِذِي فَقْرٍ مُدْقِعٍ أَوْ لِذِي غُرْمٍ مُفْزِي أَوْ لَذِي دَمٍ مُوجِعٍ. For three people. If a person is extremely in a state of poverty, or if a person is in such debt that makes his life difficult, or if a person has committed murder, they spared his life and they told him to pay the blood money, or maybe somebody has taken the responsibility of paying the blood money, only those people under such strange circumstances can ask for help and for assistance. Anyway, the purpose of this hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi tries to prove that bay'ul muzayada, auctioning is permissible. And from this hadith, which is in Abu Dawud Sharif, clearly mentioned that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam auctioned himself, and it was the practice of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second chapter, Babun Najash. Naj or Najash. وَمَنْ قَالَ لَا يَجُوزُ ذَلِكَ الْبَيْءِ. Najj refers to making a false bid. Now before proceeding with that, let me explain certain masail and certain laws of auctioning. We have discussed before that a transaction takes place with an offer and with an acceptance. If a person makes an offer, before the other person accepts, the person makes an offer, he can withdraw from the offer. And if the person has accepted, you can't withdraw from the offer. In an auction, you get a person that is presenting an item for the auction. Now, who is the one that is making the proposal for the transaction, and who is the one that is accepting? The bidder, the people that are bidding, they are the one that are making the proposals. And the owner of the item, whether he is the actual owner or whether it's a representative of the owner that bring the auction on behalf of the owner, they are the one that will accept it. Now, if an item is placed for auction and a person has to make a bid for it, so that is a proposal. And before the person that is conducting the auction accepts it, this person can withdraw from that bid. Because there was no acceptance. But once the person has accepted the bid, now the person that made the offer, the bidder that made the bid, he cannot withdraw. It is now binding on him. That's the first issue. Second issue, where per item is placed in auction, and if a person made the highest bid, then normally the mas'ala is that when you make a proposal for something, the person, the seller, he has an option to say yes or to say no. But here in the context of auctions, generally if it's done in a public, it's done within a context where he promises that if a person makes the highest bid, he would sell it. So when an offer is made, the highest offer, now the person that is selling it, the person that is conducting the auction, he cannot refuse. He is bound to sell it to the highest bidder. This is because it is a kind of a promise. It comes in the context of the auction. It is a wa'ada. It's a promise. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us, أوفوا بالعقود. Fulfill your promises. You came in the context of selling it in auction to a highest bidder. You have to sell it. Yes, of course. If a person wants to sell an item, but to a specific person, or he wants to go into an auction with certain terms and conditions, at times, people make a very ridiculous offer. The highest bid may be even below the cost. So, it is permissible for a person to go into an auction, the seller or the person that's conducting the auction on behalf of the owner with terms and conditions. And you call it auction with reserve. Where you tell the person that this will be the minimum price that will be the bid will commence from. Or the seller, he reserves the right to give it to whoever he wants to. So he make it clear to the bidders that they don't automatically qualify for that item. At times it happens that when you're auctioning a property, maybe you know somebody wants to take the property to open up a casino. You don't want to give it to that person. Or you know that somebody wants to open up a church. Your house is doing an auction and somebody offering a high price for that. And in order to save your house from that, so you have a right and you reserve that right to sell it to whoever you want to. So these are some of the masail pertaining to it. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi mentions Babun Najash. This is false bidding, where a person is there on the floor and somebody offers a price, he is there just to increase the price. This is false bidding. And this is haram. This is prohibited. From the mas'ala point of view, if a person is making a false bid, he's on the floor, he's doing it all by himself. The seller didn't tell him to do it. He himself will be responsible. He'll be sinful. But if the seller told him that you must help me to make a false bid to increase the price, now the person that did the false bid and the owner who did this to deceive the people, both will be sinful. And in some instances, we hear about it very, very often, that in auctions, sometimes there's a lot of oppression done to people. People's properties are taken and they're sold below cost. And it caused a lot of harm to people in that way. Allama Ibn Humam rahmatullahi has mentioned, and this is also the opinion of Ibn Arabi, if somebody is on the floor and you know there's an oppression taking place to your brother by selling his property below cost, now you have to make a false bid purely with the intention to increase the price to save your brother from this oppression and zulam, then inshallah kana majuran. That he will get ajr and he will get reward because you've been considerate to your fellow brother. So, Imam Bukhari mentions, وَمَنْ قَالْ لَا يَجُوزُ ذَلِكَ الْبَيْءِ. According to Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, that if there's a false bid that takes place there, that entire auction is nullified and invalid. Yes, of course, according to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, and according to other ulama, that false bidding is a sin, but that won't invalidate the entire transaction. وَقَالَ إِبْنُ أَبِي أَوْفَى النَّاجِشِ. Now Imam Bukhari comes out very strongly on this, and he says, النَّاجِشْ آكِلُ الرِّبَى خَائِنْ وَوَخِدَى بَاطِلْ لَا يَحِلْ. That a person that's making a false bid, he's actually eating riba, interest. He's an embezzler. He's a deceiver. His transaction is futile and incorrect. It is not halal. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الخديعة في النار. That a person that deceives, he's in the fire of hell. And ومن عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Anybody that does anything which is not part of our practice, that is rejected. Imam Bukhari then presents another hadith from Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'anhuma, قال نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن النج. Nabi s.a.w. is prohibited from doing false bid. Anyway, from the masla point of view, that if a false bid has been done, if the person that conducted the false bid, and if it was also coordinated by the seller, then both of them will be sinful, but the transaction will be concluded, and there'll be that consequences of a transaction that will take place, a person will become the owner of it. Now, coming back to those three questions that we have asked in the beginning, that online bidding, if it's a general auction, where there's a like how it is physically done, not online. All the terms and conditions of auction will also take place there. But in some auctions, you pay for the bird. And every time you want to bid, you have to pay for it. Which means, the more birds you buy, you'll end up buying that item. From the maslah, from the Sharia point of view, this type of bidding is not jais. Because bidding is a right of anybody that's there, you invited there, and the right for bidding is not something tangible, is not something that you pay for, so that kind of transaction or that kind of auctioning is not permissible. The second mas'ala, that to purchase repossessed items in an auction, if it is done by, for example, government institutes, or if it is an item that repossessed by the banks, and then it is being sold, so the transaction will be perfectly permissible. Anybody has to buy from there, then he'll become the bona fide and he'll become the rightful owner of that item. And this is governed by the Sharia law of isti'la. And the third mas'ala, that the syndicates, where sometimes quite a few Muslims go in an auction, it doesn't look nice with one person bidding against the other. Everybody is silent and they're looking at how the Muslims are fighting with each other. So they appoint one person to go and bid on their behalf, secure the item, and then they have their own private bid. This is a very good systematic way of doing it. And the person that is representing the syndicate, he is their wakil, he's a representative, he possesses the item, it's an amanat in his possession, and then after that internal auctioning will take place, that according to Sharia, that will be permissible, the highest bidder will secure the item for himself. Now, this is auctioning which is called in Sharia bay'ul muzayada. Just in passing and before concluding, there's another concept in Sharia which is called bay'ul munaqasa. Muzayada means two people increasing the price against each other, and munaqasa in English you'd call it to offer tenders, where sometimes governments or institutions, they want to buy, for example, 100 chairs, 100 tables, they send out tenders that who will offer to sell the item at the cheapest price. So complete opposite of auctions. In auctions, the objective is to get the highest price. And in munaqasa, the objective is to purchase the item at the cheapest price. All the rules and regulations of an auction will also apply to tenders. However, the challenge for many people is that is bribery permissible or not? That's a different issue altogether. But in conclusion, there's one hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related to this topic. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadith Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala reported to have mentioned, لا تحاسدوا ولا تباغدوا ولا تقاطعوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. And in one riwayat with different words, the word tanajashu also comes. The meaning of this riwayat is, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, don't have jealousy against each other. Don't have animosity against each other. Don't break relationship with each other. And when you have differences with each other, don't turn your backs against each other. And in one riwayat, la tanajashu, that don't false bid against each other. Now we look at this hadith, it's all got to do with character and conduct, and one got to do with dealing. Now what does this hadith about dealing got to do with character and conduct? It got everything to do with it. It is, when a person falsely bids against each other, it is actually a manifestation of hasad and jealousy. And if a person happen to falsely bid against each other, it's an expression of bughz and animosity against each other. And in fact, if you have to bid against each other, a fellow person knows that this person bidding against me, you are Muslim brother, you read namaz in one masjid, you're family people, you're in one function, you'll join one another's family gatherings, nikah, janazah, and then they come to bidding, you're bidding against each other, sometimes just to show that you've got a bigger bank balance. So that actually leads to breaking taluk and relationship. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, la tanajashu. And we go to see, if you correct our muamalat, you correct our dealings, adabs and etiquettes, then it will save you from a lot of spiritual sicknesses and spiritual diseases. And therefore Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, kuno ibadallah ikhwana. live with each other like brothers. Even in our muamalat, in our dealings. Like how a real bosom brother will be considerate to each other. He will give preference to his fellow brother over himself. The same also should go into our muamalat and dealings. When we are considerate with each other in our muamalat and dealings, it saves us from a lot of spiritual harm and spiritual diseases. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayah to understand. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.